We're reading this evening from the Gospel of Mark, and chapter 8, Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and we begin to read from verse number 34. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 34. And it is speaking of the Lord Jesus, Mark chapter 8, verse 34, and it says, "And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Amen. And we'll conclude our reading at the end of Mark chapter 8. Before we consider this passage of God's word together, let us pray. Let us all seek the Lord's face together. Our loving Father, we come before thee in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We come through his blood, the blood of the perfect Lamb of God, shed for sinners, that blood that draws us near unto thee, makes us thy children, and enables us to call thee our Father. We pray for forgiveness for our many sins. We pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit, it would please thee to take thy word and to apply it to our hearts. We confess our need of thee. Our need is great. We need guidance. We need our hearts to be changed and to be instructed. We need a word that will help us and show us the way to go. And we pray especially for those who may be listening and they are not yet saved. They do not yet know thee. They are still lost in their sin and going down to hell. We pray for such today that they would hear the Good Shepherd's voice calling them to repentance and to faith. We pray that you would save the lost. We think of those who are connected to your people, those who are in Christian families and yet they do not know the Lord. We think of them and of others who have no thought of thee and have perhaps never heard thy word before. We pray that whoever hears the word of God, we pray that it would please thee that be applied to their hearts, and that many would be saved and many would be brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for help in all that we would say in our thoughts, and that everything that we would say and do and think would be according to thy will and to the honour of thy great name. We pray this for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ and in his name. Amen. To be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest possible privilege in life. Not everyone in the world is a follower of the Lord Jesus. Only those who repent of their sins, only those who trust their souls to the Lord Jesus are his followers. Following the Lord Jesus means loving him with all of your heart, depending upon him completely. It means obeying his commands. The Lord Jesus describes his people in John chapter 10 and verse 27. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And they follow me. Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ today? The Lord Jesus speaks of this theme of following him in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, and he says, "Whosoever will come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Tonight I would like to consider these verses at the end of Mark chapter 8 and what they teach us about following the Lord Jesus Christ. Following the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we can consider the call to follow. The call to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about this call to follow Christ, we can think about its nature. Its nature. The Lord Jesus presents the call to follow him in verse 34. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The call to follow the Lord Jesus Christ is unique. It is not a call to follow another religion. It is not a call to embrace a set of rules that will improve your life and the life of others. It is not a call to turn over a new leaf and to clean up your life so that you will be acceptable to God. Rather, it is a personal call. The Lord Jesus speaks in verse 34 of those who come after him. And he says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. It is a call from the Lord Jesus Christ to you as a person. It is a call for you to follow him. Christians are those who truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a call to believe on him as God and as the one who took human nature and lived a perfect life as a man on this earth. It is a call to believe that he is divine, the Son of God, the one who is sinless, the one who died on the cross, the one who shed his blood as a sacrifice for the sins of his people, people like you and me. It is a call to believe that he rose from the dead and that he is alive today. It is a call to believe that he is the judge of all the earth. One day he will judge all humanity in perfect holiness. It is a call to believe that this book that we have been reading from, the Bible, is his word, that it is infallible, that it contains all that he desires you to know about God and about yourself and about this world. It is a call to deny yourself. Verse 34, the Lord says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. This self-denial means that you must realize that there's nothing good in you. You must give up the sins that you enjoy to follow Christ. It is a call for you to repent of your sin. It is a call to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as one who without him has no hope, one who is without him fallen and depraved and a hopeless sinner, condemned by a holy God, deserving hell. It is a call for you to turn from your sin, to recognize your sin, to realize it is vile before God, to realize that you must forsake your sin, that you must confess it to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Over in Luke chapter 13, the Lord Jesus is told about calamities and disasters that were happening in his day. And his response to the people in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 is, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The call to follow Christ is a call to repentance. And it is a call to sacrifice and to shame. He calls those who follow him to take up the cross. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There is a cross to bear. As a follower of the Saviour, the Lord has planned it to be that way. The cross speaks of the inevitable shame and sacrifice and suffering associated with being a follower of the Lord Jesus in this world. And for each Christian, the cross is different. Each follower of Christ has his own cross. For some, it is estrangement from others, estrangement from family and friends, from loved ones. For others, it is mockery in the workplace. For some, it may be persecution and death. It may be the daily battle of faith in a world that is bent upon sinful pleasure. It may be struggles with sickness and pain, but whatever the cross is, the Lord is clear. To follow him is to carry a cross. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He speaks of self-denial. The Lord does not promise an easy life of health and prosperity to those who follow him. And so this is a radical and a challenging call. There is nothing else like it in the world, the call to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But the world holds no greater privilege than to hear this call to follow him. And so as we think about this call to follow, we have its nature, but we also have its scope. Its scope, this call is for all people everywhere. The Lord Jesus said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Whosoever will come after me. What an amazing thing it is that the God of glory, the Savior of sinners, should permit people to follow him. The word whosoever means that anyone who is willing to accept the Lord's terms may follow him. And so wide and so generous and so all-encompassing is this call that it includes everyone. Men and women, boys and girls are included, the rich, the poor, people of all ages, people of all nations, people of all languages, people in all places are called to follow Christ. We read something of this over in the book of Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. And it says of the Lord Jesus, Acts chapter 10 verse 43, "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." There is a wide, an open, a free invitation to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The only people who are excluded are those who exclude themselves by not accepting the Lord's terms. The Lord Jesus invites all who feel their need of him, all who feel the burden of their sin, all who fear the judgment of God against their sins, all such are called to follow him. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. The Lord Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The call includes you. If you're not saved, as we think about this call to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, what a privilege. A call like nothing else in the world. It is a call that includes you. Whosoever may follow the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever hears his call and will accept his terms, can follow him. And so we have the call to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we think about following the Lord Jesus Christ, we have secondly the cost of following. The cost of following. There is a cost in following the Lord Jesus Christ. This does not mean that we earn our right to heaven. God's salvation is freely given to all who repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do to merit heaven. There's nothing we can do to deserve to escape hell. It's God's free gift provided through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when someone follows the Lord Jesus, there is inevitably a cost of following him. The Lord speaks of that cost in verse 35 of Mark chapter 8. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." And so as we think about this cost of following the Lord Jesus, we can think about its extent. Its extent. In verse 35, the Lord Jesus says that following him means losing your life. He says, "But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." He says, if you follow me, there will be this inevitable cost. You will lose your life. He's not saying that you will automatically die physically when you decide to follow him, but he says that your life will be completely surrendered to him, that you will lose your life to him. You will live in obedience to him so that Even if it does mean death for you, you will be willing to follow him to that great length. The Lord Jesus teaches in verse 35 that those who follow him, they would choose to die rather than give up following him, rather than deny him and the gospel, this good news, this message about him. And this teaching, it reveals to us the extent of the cost involved in following the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a complete loss of personal rights and interests. All is surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Following the Lord Jesus means losing control of your life. You lose the right to decide what is right and wrong. You lose all sense of your own self-righteousness, your own ability to shape your own destiny. Whatever you trusted in before you followed the Lord Jesus, you lose that. You will lose your religious pride. You must lose the sins that you once indulged in, the sins that you once lived for, the alcohol-fueled weekends, you must lose those. The casual gambling, you must lose that. The immoral content on the internet, you must lose that. The shopping trips on the Lord's Day, you must lose those. The bad language, the unclean humour, the underhand business deals, the lies on application forms, all of those things must be lost to follow Christ. The love of many things before the love of God. The failure to love your neighbour as yourself, that must be lost. All of your life, all that you have wrapped yourself up in, it is all turned upside down, it is all gone when you decide to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, when you truly follow him. The Lord Jesus did not say that all you needed to do is believe on him, take up the label of being Christian, and then basically carry on as you lived before without any fundamental change. The Lord Jesus says that if you follow him, the extent of the cost so great that you will lose your life. You will have a new master. He must have control of your life. He must have all of your love. You must surrender to him. You will lose your life to him and for him. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, in the Gospels, the same shall save it. The extent of the cost, all must be surrendered for the Saviour's sake, to follow him. But as we think about this cost of following the Lord Jesus, we have not only its extent, but we have its compensation. Its compensation, the cost of following the Lord Jesus, is that you lose your life to him and for him, but in losing your life, you receive a wonderful compensation. Verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. If you become a follower of the Lord Jesus, you will lose your life, your present sinful, condemned life, that life that is going down to hell. You will lose that life, but you will gain new life. When a sinner repents of his sin, when he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he receives forgiveness from God through the blood of Christ, and he receives a new life. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul, speaking of his own experience, says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul says, my old life is gone, but I have new life now in Christ, and I live in him and through him and for him and because of his love for me. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ gave his blood. It was the giving of his perfect life to appease God's righteous anger against sin, and by the sacrifice of his blood, the Lord Jesus has purchased new life for all who believe on him, for all who follow him. And what a life it is. It is eternal life granted by the one who died for sins and who rose again and who lives forever in the power of an endless life. There is eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It is a life of peace with God. What a life to know God, to know that God accepts us, to know that the righteousness of Christ has been given to us. It is a life of purpose. It is a life of purity. It is a life of joy in this world. Yes, the battles of faith are many. Yes, there is sacrifice. Yes, there is shame. Yes, there is sorrow in following the Lord Jesus Christ. But the compensation, the life that he gives, it far outweighs it all. Life, true life, abundant life, eternal life, life that is filled with deep joy. Such a life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Jim Elliot was a missionary who was murdered along with four colleagues in Ecuador on the 8th of January 1956 by those that he sought to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jim Elliot proved by his life and by his death the truth of this passage of scripture. And at the age of 22, just 7 years before he died, Jim Elliot wrote these words. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Yes, Jim Elliot lost his life, but he gained from Christ something far greater that he enjoys eternally today. After his death, his wife Elizabeth wrote of the Lord Jesus, and she said, "If with courage and joy we pour ourselves out for him and for others for his sake, it is not possible to lose in any final sense anything worth keeping. We will lose ourselves and our selfishness. We will gain everything worth having." Following the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, it involves a great cost. But remember, while there is a great cost, the reward is far greater. The life that he gives is far, far, infinitely far greater than anything that you will lose by giving yourself to him. As we think about following the Lord Jesus, there is the call to follow, and there's the cost of following. And then finally, we have the questions about not following. The questions about not following. The Lord Jesus asks some searching questions, deep questions that search right into our heart and soul about the consequences of not following him. If you do not repent of sin and yield your life to the Lord Jesus and follow him, you will lose your life in the end. This is very plain. Verse 35, the Lord Jesus said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." If you do not follow Christ, if you hold back your life from him, if you're not prepared to give over control and to sacrifice for him, you will not have the forgiveness of sins. You will not have peace with God. You will not have a home in heaven. And so the Lord Jesus asks a question then in verse 36, a question of loss. Of loss, he says in verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" He emphasizes the value of your soul. You may have many valuable possessions tonight, but nothing compares with the value of your soul. Your soul is immortal. It cannot cease to exist. It will live on after the body has returned to dust. It possesses all that you truly are and all that you truly desire. Your soul is you. And your soul can feel and hear and know and communicate even after it is no longer in the body. And at death, your soul, you, will meet God. And what a moment. We cannot begin to imagine what it is to leave this bodily frame and to enter into the immediate presence of our Creator, to be transported not willingly, but called out at the timing of God's choosing, called out to appear before his throne. And it is a moment that all of us should consider and be prepared for, because any one of us could be called out to appear before our Maker at any moment. We are taught of this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 27. And it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." And if you're not saved, if you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have no one to stand with you or to speak for you on that day. The Lord Jesus will stand with his people at that great hour. He will own his people. He will speak for us. He will say, "This man, this woman, this boy, this girl, they followed me." The Bible says that he will present us faultless before his Father's face. And oh, what joy to be welcomed into glory by the Saviour, having followed him on earth. And one day he himself will usher us into the eternal city. But if you're not saved, you will stand alone at God's judgment bar. And words will always fail to describe the enormity of that moment when you stand before God. And there are many today, and they laugh at God, and they laugh at the Bible, and they laugh at the followers of the Lord Jesus. There'll be no one laughing on Judgment Day. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And that Judgment Day that is coming on all of the world and coming to each individual, it will come to you far, far sooner than you had ever expected. And in the judgment, those who have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ will be without hope and without peace and without salvation. Your soul, if you're not saved, it will go out into darkness, out into the indescribable and the unending torments of hell. It will not be the end of your existence, but it will be the end of any peace, the end of any hope, the end of any joy or freedom from pain. It'll be the beginning of eternal fire. And so the Saviour, with a heart of immeasurable love, asks the question, what does it matter if you enjoy everything that the world has to offer, if you finish in eternal hell? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What does it matter if you have a good life and a respectable family and a steady income and a range of interests and many achievements and kind acts to your credit? Not that there's anything wrong with any of those things, good things, of course, but what does it matter if you have everything that your heart desires in this life, if you're damned the moment your earthly life is over? What does it matter, even if you managed, even if it was possible, to gather up all of this world's money and all of its fame, and you became one of the great men of history? What would it matter if you lost your soul at the end? Your own soul, yourself, your everything, lost forever. Oh, value your soul tonight, for many do not. The Lord Jesus teaches you tenderly and thoughtfully to value your soul, because the loss of your soul, so great, cannot be described. He asks you the question, but the loss of your soul, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Lord asks this question of loss, and he also asks a question about exchange. About exchange, verse 37, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul. Having asked what profit there is in enjoying this world if you lose your soul, then the Lord asks, what do you think you will offer to God for the saving of your soul? You see, at the dreadful hour, when you are called to appear before your Creator, you will realize then that you have a soul. And at that moment in the fearful presence of infinite power, you will want mercy. You will want to escape hell when you stand before God. You will want to save your soul. But the Savior asks you, how? What do you have to give at the judgment when you are before your Maker, the one who is a consuming fire? What can you give to him in exchange for your soul? What appeasement, what offering will save your soul then? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The answer is that there is nothing. Now or on the day of judgment, there is nothing that you can give in exchange for your soul. No good works, no amount of money, no religious rituals, no sincere works of kindness, no family connections will avail for your soul. As a sinner, you have no righteousness, you have no standing. You're without the Lord Jesus Christ, and without him you will stand before God with nothing, nothing to offer in exchange for your soul. And because you will have nothing to offer, then you will be lost. The Savior spells it out very directly in verse 38. He says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. There's only one thing that can save a soul, that can be given in exchange for a soul, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cleansing power, the spiritually cleansing power of his blood. But you are rejecting him if you're not saved. If you're not saved, you've not confessed your sin to him, you've refused to follow him, you've been ashamed of him. Ashamed of him in this life, because all around you is a sinful and an ungodly world, and you want to fit in. You don't want to be despised for following the Lord Jesus, and so you've been ashamed of him. You will find that he will be ashamed of you at the hour of judgment. He'll not speak for you. He'll not say that this is one for whom I died and shed my blood, and you will then have nothing to offer in exchange for your soul. You will be eternally lost. Oh, the amazing privilege of being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means everything in life, everything in death, and everything in eternity, to be able to say that I know him and I am following him. I've confessed my sin to him. I'm trusting in his blood for peace with God and for my eternal hope. If you hear his voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd calling you to follow, he's speaking to your heart. He's calling you to repent. He's calling you to believe on him and to follow him. Then leave all that you must leave. Leave all of your sin. Leave all of your past and follow him, the one who will never leave you, the one who will never forsake you, the one who will never fail, the one who will never let you down, the one who will see you safely into his glorious presence in heaven to be with him forevermore. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you. May he apply his word to your heart according to his will. And may he keep his good hand upon his people on this day and throughout all of the days of this week.